on their way. I got some echoing up here, Beth, if you can do something about that, please. I really don't know where I want to start with this. This is like 5 pages. You're like, oh God, not in 45 minutes, sure. No, we won't get done with this today. I guess I'll just have to start from the beginning for me. I guess probably about a month, maybe a little longer than that, month and a half, something another. God spoke to my heart and he said, I need you to be more feminine. And I'm a woman, you would think I know what that means. I don't know what that meant. Stacy's like, I don't either. What would y'all think? Do I need to pick somebody? Y'all don't know either? Well, that's all he said. And when God does like that, the reason why he does that is because he wants you to search it out. Now, could he just download to you what he means, every scripture on it and all that? Yes, he could. But God likes what? Seekers. So I began a quest of, what are you talking about? Because when he first spoke that to me, my first thought was, oh, God, I got to wear all this gob of makeup and hairspray and high heels and dresses and, you know, and I mean, I have done all that. I mean, really not high heels, though. But anyway, that was my first thought when he said, I need you to be more feminine. But then I'm like, that's not it. God, what are you talking about? So for me, this has actually been a quest, and then I'm not done with it yet. And God wants me to bring it to y'all. So the title this morning is God's Ideal Woman. And don't any of y'all guys think y'all were left out. I found y'all in Proverbs 31. I found your grandmothers in Proverbs 31. I found your mothers in Proverbs 31. I found the father in Proverbs 31. So whenever God started speaking to me about this, I did like I always do, went on the internet, you know, see if any of my what normal preachers that I listen to or whatever are saying anything on this, you know. And it was like, crickets. I mean, there was a few, and most of them wasn't anybody I had ever heard of before or anything, and actually wasn't saying anything of the fullness of what we're going to talk about. There's a lot. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm telling you right now, this message is going to take mind renewal for a lot of us. Especially if you're one that's like me. I've never been, what you say, real feminine. I mean, when I was a kid, I can remember my mama and my grandparents, you know, telling me, you should have been a boy. You know, you should have been a boy. Because I like to do what seemed like to be boys' things. Play with trucks and cars and climb trees and, you know, things like that. Where a lot of times, like Aubrey, she's what we would call a girly girl. She's way more feminine. She likes the makeup. And I mean, the girl put on high heels this high. I mean, she's 8, you know, and she can walk. I can't walk in high heels this high, and I'm whatever I am. So it's going to take mind renewal because I don't know why I didn't know that. Why I didn't know what feminine, you would think I would, being a woman, I would know. But I honestly did not know what he was talking about. And then now today, we live, our culture, they are trying now to tell us and define for us what a woman is. Right? And whatever the church don't talk about, the world does. And your kids and your grandkids and you or whoever is listening to that stuff is being infiltrated by the enemy. So there's times, there's things we have to talk about that is maybe not too comfortable or feel too good or, you know, don't really want to talk about it. And we'll use this word, like relations. We'll use that one instead of the three-letter word, okay? Because we have, Johnny's laughing. I'm really trying, you know. They try to define for us what that is and or that it's a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with that. That's actually good. It's created by God. It's needful if we're going to actually do what he said over in Genesis. He said, go, be fruitful, be multiplied. They ain't but one way you can do that as far as creating other human beings. So it's needful. There's nothing wrong with it as long as it stays in its proper context. Anything out that God has said or made outside of its proper context, prosperity for an example. There's nothing wrong with money. The Bible says it's not the money that is the root of all evil, but what? The love of money. You know, God says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. So there's nothing wrong with God's people having money, but there is a problem if God's people love money. Y'all, real quiet. We cannot love money. Why? He said you can only serve two masters. If you love money, you can't serve God the way that you should, and he wants you to. Right? So there's nothing wrong with relations, we'll put it that way, as long as it stays in its proper context, and its proper context is marriage. It's not shacking. It ain't this, I feel like I'm married. Listen, we're our culture today, and sadly it's coming over into the church in a lot of places, is, you know, they're going more by what they feel than truth or science. Just like this, defining the definition of a woman. I don't care what body parts you take off or what body parts you put on. Y'all better hear me. You cannot, that does not define you as a woman. Number one, if you have XY chromosome, you are a man. If you have XX, you are a woman. I don't care how many body parts, how many dresses, how many high heels, how you fix your hair, how much makeup you put on. You can't change DNA. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, we got to talk about a lot of this stuff. And I prayed this morning, and I said, because y'all know how I talk anyway, sometimes people have a problem with it. I said, Lord, help me, God, that my lips drip honey this morning. Why? Because some things that I got to say, especially for women, we don't like to hear that stuff. Got crickets. Chirp, chirp, chirp. It's okay, though. All right, if you got your Bible, let's see which one I want to go to. I guess we'll do 1 Corinthians chapter 11 first. And this is going to be in the King James Version. We're going to start in verse 1. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, not your wife." You know, I've said it before, that saying, happy wife, happy life. That's saying something about us women that's not good. Right? We should be able to be unhappy and our household still be happy, regardless of how we feel. He says, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man." Y'all say that with me. The head of the woman is the man. All y'all's lips ain't moving. I'm telling you, this is so serious. The head of every woman is her husband, is man, right? And then it says, and the head of Christ is God. So everybody has a head. God is at the top. Christ is under him. Listen, and just because you're under somebody and you're not the head does not make you any less than or less needful. It's about place. It's the way God created it. So Christ doesn't feel inferior to God, does he? Absolutely not. But he's under his authority. And that's a good thing. He goes on here and he says, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered." Now notice this. "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." Now I told you I found y'all in this, guys. We are y'all's glory. So what? That means we are supposed to be reflecting whatever you're putting out. Right? Doesn't Christ reflect what God puts out? He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Well, if he is the glory of God and we are, the women is the glory of man, then we ought to be looking good, right? He goes on and he says, and that's going to depend too on how you deal with us. See, the Bible says soft words turns away anger. Usually whatever you give to a woman, she'll take it, multiply it, and give it back to you. Right? You give her a house, she gives you what? A home. You give her a seed in relations, she gives you what? A baby. Right? We take what you give, we multiply it, and we give it back. So if you don't want attitude, pressed down, shaking together, running over, you probably shouldn't be giving it out. Gosh, we are really getting quiet. He says, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now notice this. This gets a lot of people real upset, especially in our culture. For the man is not of the woman. Adam did not come from a woman. You know, I heard this here a while back, and I just thought about it, and I thought, I bet that has to be so. Adam and Eve did not have a belly button. You ever thought about that? You know why we have a belly button? Because you came from your mama. They did not. Right? God created Adam in his likeness, in his image, right? Then he took a rib or whatever from the man and created the woman. So it says here that for the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Does that make her less than? No, that's just the way she got here. Then it goes on and it says, neither was the man created for the woman. And listen to me, I'm sad for a lot of y'all guys. because there's a lot of women, especially nowadays, they act like they are God's gift to you. And you better be giving them everything they want. They don't know how to cook. They ain't going to cook if they learned. They ain't going to clean nothing. They're going to go get their nails done every couple of weeks or every week. Go get their hair poofed up or whatever they do to it. And they got on eyelashes this long, so when they blink, you can't even see their eyeballs. Do y'all get what? Have y'all noticed what this culture is doing? And it is downgrading and downplaying the man to where he should not be an authority, that the man should not tell you anything. Listen, if you are a real man and a real husband that loves and cares for your family, and your wife comes in and she's hanging out, I'm trying to say this stuff nicely, she's hanging out in the front or in the back or anywhere, and the husband says, you know, I would rather you go take that off. Well, you don't tell me what to wear. Who you think you are? You're not my daddy. Y'all getting real quiet. What is that? It's not feminine. That's more masculine. That's that pride. That's that rebellion that is rising up. Why? Because this day and age, men has been down to nothing. Y'all not saying nothing. Men's not supposed to have no authority. Men ain't supposed to tell the family what to do. All they supposed to do is go make my bacon and let me spend it the way I want to. Y'all not saying nothing. I mean, that's not right. How come in the movies the preachers are always alcoholics and drinking and drugging and smoking cigarettes and doing all this kind of... Why y'all think that is in the movies? They're trying to create an image. Because why? Whatever we see, whatever we hear long enough, if we let it get in our ears, you got an inner ear. And that inner ear, when it gets in there, it gets down in your heart. And once it gets down in your heart, y'all remember the seed, the parable of the seed and the sower of the word? It gets down in your heart. What happens? You're going to get a harvest whether it's good or bad. So we got a lot of young people that is being raised up today that their mamas and their daddies and their grandparents did not teach them about relationships or anything about being married or the kind of women or men to even look for. And then we want to wonder why we got so much problems in the church. Because there should not be high divorce rates in the church. I know things happen. You can't make somebody stay with you. But do you realize you can make somebody want to stay with you, or you can make somebody want to get rid of you just as quick as they can? Let's go on with this here. It says, neither was the man created for the woman. He was created for God, right? God said, let us make man in our image. He says, but the woman for the man. So this tells me, my number one purpose is for God, and number two purpose is for the man, for my husband. Thank y'all for the shouting hallelujahs and amens on that. See, if you don't understand your purpose, you'll never be able to fulfill it. Just like me, when God said, I need you to be more feminine, I don't have a clue what that means. So if I don't have a clue what it means, how can I do what I don't know? I can't. So then, I'm not trying to tell you how your household is supposed to be or run and all that to a certain degree, but how many knows we need to be women and men and husbands and wives and fathers and children and all that the way God wants us to be, right? He goes on here and he says, but the woman for the man. When you go over into Genesis, when God first created, Adam got, and he named all the animals and all that stuff, he got set up. And then the Bible says that God said, it's not good that man should be alone. That's when he created Eve, right? So we was created for the man, the husband. It says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, talking about authority, because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. What's that mean? Men, baby, male, children come through the woman, through the mother, right? And then he goes on and he says, neither the woman without the man, well, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, and neither the woman without the man in the Lord. He says, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, talking about you're born of woman, but all things of God. Now, let's go over to Proverbs 31. I got to if I need to. All right, we're talking about God's ideal woman. That's the title. We're not going to get through with this today. I told Beth, I said, don't write anything down past the first page. We probably won't even get off the first page today. So what we're going to do, we're going to read this whole chapter here, and then we're going to go break it down, okay? Verse 1, this is going to be in the Amplified. Beth will put it up if you don't have one. It says, the words of Lemuel, king of Massa, which his mother taught him, what, my son, what, son of my womb, what shall I advise you, son of my vows and dedication to God? Give not your strength to loose women, nor your ways to those who in that which ruin and destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and what it decrees, and pervert the justice due any of the afflicted. Give strong drink as medicine to him who is ready to pass away, and wine to him in bitter distress of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and seriously remember his want and misery no more. Open your mouth for the dumb, those unable to speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are left desolate and defenseless. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and administer justice for the poor and needy. A capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. The heart of her husband trusts in her confidently and relies on her, excuse me, and believes in her securely, so that he has no lack of honest gain or need of dishonest spoil. She comforts, encourages, and does him only good as long as there is life within her. She seeks out wool and flax and works with willing hands to develop it. She is like the merchant ships loaded with foodstuffs. She brings her household's food from a far country. She rises while it is yet night and gets spiritual food for her household and assigns her maids their task. She considers a new field before she buys or accepts it, expanding prudently and not courting neglect of her present duties by assuming other duties. With her savings of time and strength, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. She girds herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task, and makes her arms strong and firm. She tastes and sees that her gain from work with and for God is good. Her lamp goes not out, but it burns on continually through the night of trouble, privation, or sorrow, warning away fear, doubt, and distrust. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She opens her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her filled hands to the needy, whether in body, mind, or spirit. She fears not the snow for her family, for all her household are doubly clothed in scarlet. She makes for herself coverlets, cushions, and rugs of tapestry. Her clothing is of linen pure and fine, and of purple, such as that of which the clothing of the priest and the hallowed cloths of the temple were made. Her husband is known in the city gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and leads others to buy them. She delivers to the merchants girdles or sashes that free one up for service. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. She rejoices over the future, the latter day or time to come, knowing that she and her family are in readiness for it. She opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness, giving counsel and instruction. She looks well to how things go in her household, and the bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity she will not eat. Her children rise up and call her blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied, and her husband boasts and praises her, saying, many daughters have done virtuously, nobly, and well, with the strength of character that is steadfast in goodness, but you excel them all. Charm and grace are deceptive, and beauty is vain, because it is not lasting. But a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That was a mouthful. And we're talking this morning, the title was God's Ideal Woman. Now, let's go back to verse 1. It says, the words of Lemuel, king of Massa, which his mother taught him. Usually when I've heard messengers or people do talk about Proverbs 31 woman, right, they always start in verse 10. I didn't feel to do that. Why? Because starting in verse 1 is very important, because notice what it says. It says, the words of Lemuel, king of Massa. So this is a king that's talking, right? And he says, which his mother taught him. So this tells me mothers are supposed to be teaching your kids something. And this wasn't just the mother having a talk with her daughter. This is a mother telling her son. She's giving him godly advice. So it says, what, my son? What, son of my womb? What shall I advise you, son of my vows and dedication to God? This is a godly mother. She has dedicated her son to the Lord, right? And she's telling him, give not your strength to loose women. Kelly Boone, we could preach on that all day. It says, nor your ways to those who, notice what it says, and that which ruin and destroy kings. Men, and I'm talking to all of y'all. Y'all may not be what we call grown men yet because you're 15, 16, 17. You will one day, you will be the king. You understand what I'm telling you? You're supposed to be the king that is in your family. Well, this mother is telling her son, don't give your strength to these kind of women. Now, let's go over to... You can hold your place there if you want to, because we'll come back. Let's go to Proverbs. Well, Beth, put up Proverbs 14:1, please, in the Amplified, and y'all go to Proverbs 5. It says, every wise woman, there's different kinds of women. Every wise woman builds her house. Listen to me, guys. You want a wife that is going to build with you. There's a lot out there, they don't build with you, they tear down. And it says, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. So you're going to be looking for a wise woman. And if you're a woman in here, a married woman, if you haven't been, you need to be a wise woman. I have not always sad to say, because I didn't know. I didn't know the things that we're going to be talking about right now, that I'm supposed to help my husband build instead of being contrary against him all the time. See, when I got married, I mean, my mama didn't have much time to teach me much of anything. I met Scotty when I was 13, and once I met him, I mean, that was just the end of that. I don't want to go nowhere. I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to be nothing. Just be with him, that's all. Why? Women usually are more emotionally ruled. So by the time I meet him at 13, I marry him at 14. I don't know nothing about being no wife. I don't know nothing about being no mother. I don't know nothing about anything. You understand? I ain't even been out of the diapers but a few years. So I'm trying to tell you why sometimes maybe I didn't know. And then I marry a man that he's very jealous, and he don't let me or want me around anybody. Not my mama, not my brothers and sisters. Anybody that when we're around, mostly guys all the time, that he didn't feel that I would like. Because if now if he ever thought I might like one, we can't hang around that one. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. So I'm around most guys, him, and most of the time guys, so I'm not seeing a whole lot of, while through my teenage years, that I should be learning some of this stuff, femininity. I'm seeing masculinity. So what do? I begin to mask that. I begin to mask what I see. So then, therefore, I come up, and now I think I'm supposed to be this way. I think guys like this. I found out they do not. They don't like this at all. I thought I was, I mean, I pulled a gun on a couple of guys before. I mean, some of them wanted to fight when I was a teenager. I mean, I fought guys, stuff like that. I mean, I thought I was supposed to be this way. But sad to say, I was not. So now I'm having to deprogram all of this stuff on the inside of me. And I'm not saying you had to come up that way, but our society portrays a lot of stuff. And I think a lot of the parents and grandparents, you have not taught this or as you should, or we wouldn't be in a lot of the mess that we're in. And God wants that fixed, right? God loves us. He wants the woman to be what He created her to be. He wants the man, the husband, to be what He created him to be. Why? So you can be blessed. Do you understand? If you stay in that constant brawl and turmoil all the time, the Bible says your prayers will be hindered. Y'all act like that's nothing. I don't know about y'all, but I need God to hear my prayers and answer them. So let's go over here to, I read that. Okay. Now let's go to Proverbs 5, which I didn't figure I'd get a whole lot of amens. I've done had a whole month to digest a little bit of this and change some of my thinking. And I talked to Scotty about it just a little bit, not a whole lot. And I've been asking him some questions because I'm on a quest. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I'm not a man. I think with the right side of my brain, according to science, right? Women think with the right side of their brain. Men usually think with the left side of their brain. That's why we're always right. That's a joke. I couldn't help it. I knew Scotty's yell right. So anyway, I've been asking him questions because I'm not a man. A lot of women think they know what men want. Most of them do not have a clue. I did not have a clue. I thought a man wanted a woman that she goes and she works right beside him. Because see, now that's the way I grew up. Scotty, most of the time, he could not keep a regular job because he's got to stay with me all the time to make sure what I'm doing, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, and I'm not out with nobody. Y'all understand what I'm telling you? So, I mean, we work in the field. I mean, he comes and we pull the watermelons together and we stick them on the end. Then he drives the truck. I throw the watermelons. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So this is the atmosphere. And that's not what they want. Oh, Lord, I was hoping wouldn't have to go here. Most women, now listen, there's always a different, but the rule usually is most women think guys want relations. Don't make me spell it out. Y'all know what I mean, right? Travis told me to use a different word. So y'all know what I'm talking about. Raise your hand if you ever thought that about a guy. I think Stacy and I forget your name, I'm sorry. I think y'all the only two never had that thought. And we hear that. And a lot of times they do. And a lot of times they'll tell you anything they think the woman wants to hear to get that. But how many of us, that ain't the kind they're going to marry. Mm-mm. Everybody knows who a loose woman is. Right? So we don't want to be a loose woman. And guys, you are not looking for a loose woman, I tell you. We just got through reading where Lemuel's mother said, these kind of women destroy kings. They don't build them up. They destroy them. So here in Proverbs 5, we're going to read this whole chapter. You know, and you might think, well, God, this is Sunday school. Why you got to read the whole? We're not in a hurry. Are y'all in a hurry? What you in a hurry for? See, just like when the sower sows the word, remember how I told y'all? Y'all going to have to not get bored. Why? The flesh likes to listen to a message and be like, I got that. Give me the next one. Or read a book. I got that. Give me the next one. But what about when God wants you to stay on something for a long time? How many knows? I call it kind of like milking the cow. You can get way, way more out of something if you milk the cow than you do 10 whole messages. So here in Proverbs chapter 5, I think I got this in the, yeah, I got this in the Amplified. If you don't have it, Beth, put it on the screen. Verse 1, he says, my son. Now, the guy that wrote the book of Proverbs is Solomon, right? Y'all remember him? The richest, wisest man in the world at this time. I mean, kings and queens would come and bring him gifts just to listen to his wisdom. So he knows a little something, right? And he's the one wrote this. He says, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom." Godly wisdom learned by actual and costly experience. You don't want to have costly experience if you can listen to somebody that's done been there that's telling you right. Excuse me. He says, "Incline your ear to my understanding of what is becoming imprudent for you, that you may exercise proper discrimination and discretion, and your lips may guard and keep knowledge and the wise answer to temptation." Listen, I know we all got hormones, some of us less than others now, you know. I mean, especially when you're younger, I mean, you got times hormones are just raging. I mean, it's not supposed to be led by hormones. If you are, you get in trouble. He says here, the wisdom for the temptation, verse 3, "For the lips of a loose woman." Y'all know who them women are in school, don't you guys? Yeah? It says, "They drip honey as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." That's why you got to have the wisdom of God to combat her. She looks good. Oh, she's soft. She ain't real fluffy. Scotty bought me a gown one time. It says, "I'm not fat, I'm just fluffy." So I use that when I'm fluffy. But she's soft. She looks good. Let me ask you something. Scotty done told y'all a little bit of this, but oh God. I want everybody in here, from 1 to 10, rate yourself. 10? I mean, for real. I want you to tell me, for real. Travis says 10? It's not on the scale, Dumbo. Just kidding. Real 8. Anybody else want to say? We need a woman to say now. Sandy. 6? 8? Mr. D? You want to do it? 7? Monty, Mr. 11? You going to tell us? Or are you sticking with 11? Okay. Anybody else want to say? Where was that at? Oh, Miss Judy, 5. Anybody else? Miss D, would you like to tell us? She's like, "No, not really. Quit looking at me." Anybody else? You want to rate yourself? You want to tell us what you think? All right. Let me ask you a question before I answer this. Well, no. Let me just go ahead and say this. If anybody said 10 or above, you think you're perfect and you got pride. Because if you're a 10, remember I said 1 to 10. And if you rate yourself as a 10, there's no room for improvement, and that has to be a lie. Has to be a lie. So only pride would do that. Not being against Monty or Travis or whatever. All right, now, what did you rate yourself by? Travis, tell us what you rated yourself by. Things you do in life. Monty, what did you rate yourself by? What he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, even that can use improvement. So you can't be an 11. Jackie, what did you rate yourself by? Okay. Sandy, why'd you say you was, what'd you say, a 6 or a 7? 6? Why'd you say you was a 6? What'd you rate yourself by? Being a wife. Oh, y'all are good at this. The majority of people that question was put to, I've been doing some statistics, looking at some of them, listening to some of them. The majority of people, especially women, almost every one of them rated themselves by their looks. The way they think they look, because they think that's what a man is looking for. And all of those that said they was a 10, that's impossible. Impossible. There's no way you can be in a 10. All right, now, if you do it rightly, you rate yourself by the way you look. You rate yourself by the way you are. You rate yourself. Just like this. When a man is marrying a woman, both of y'all bringing something to the table. Whether you're bringing something or nothing. Why? Because when you get married, now the two is going to become one. And each has their own place with their own duties of what God calls their duties and all that stuff. So if I'm thinking I'm a 10, I'm God's gift to Scotty, and I shouldn't do nothing because I just brought everything to the table, buddy. That can't happen. See, but it goes to show in our society, y'all did real good about that. Y'all didn't give a lot of the answers that I've heard, you know, mostly. Because most of the women, it was about their looks and everything. In the Bible, we just read it over in Proverbs 31. Beauty's fading, buddy, just like this. I don't look a thing like I used to, Samantha. Nothing. I ain't even hardly got no eyebrows anymore. I used to have eyebrows like Travis. I'm serious. Big, black, thick eyebrows. Now they're almost gone. I halfway paint them on now. You know, so I mean, that stuff's fading. So guys, you don't need to be looking for no woman or picking no woman to be no wife just because you think she's a 9 or 10 gorgeous. Because let me tell you something, that 9 or 10 gorgeous and what she's got up here is going to eventually, unless you got your bra on, going to fall down here. I'm just being honest. I don't care how good you look right now. I don't care how well you age. You're still aging. And you guys, ladies, do not pick a guy because he's got a fast car, a cute smile, and big muscles. No! Absolutely not. That's not the reason why. Now, listen, I think probably every one of us, the reason why we pick somebody or ask somebody out on a date or something is because there's something that attracts us to us, usually physically, if you ain't even talked to the person. There's usually something physically that you like about them, at least a little bit or whatever, or you wouldn't even get it started, right? But we're talking about dating and marrying these people, and then after you become married. So all that beauty stuff, all that big muscles, I mean, I don't care how long you work out. Even if it's your older age, guys, if you still got big muscles, there's some saggy skin on there. I'm just being truthful and honest with you. So it changes. Everything in life is changing, right? So he's talking about the loose woman here. And I'm telling you guys, y'all don't want none of them. He says, for the lips of a loose woman drip honey. She is a good talker, boy. As a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged and a devouring sword. You don't want that loose woman. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol, Hades, the place of the dead. She loses sight of and walks not in the path of life. Her ways wind about aimlessly, and you cannot know them. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me and depart not from the words of my mouth. Listen, Solomon wrote this, and I believe, if I remember this right, he had something like 350 wives. He wasn't very smart in that area. Most men can't handle one. And God told him, he said, God had told him all the time, don't take wives from other tribes and different religions and things like that. Why? Because they will take your heart away from God. And that is exactly what happened to Solomon in the end. He goes on and he says, let your way in life be far from her, talking about the loose woman, and come not near the door of her house. Avoid the very scenes of temptation. Y'all remember Joseph? Buddy, he split like a banana, didn't he? Left his coat and all. You better do the same thing. He says, lest you give your honor to others and your years to those without mercy. Lest strangers and false teachings take their fill of your strength and wealth, and your labors go to the house of an alien from God. And you groan and mourn when your end comes, when your flesh and body are consumed. And you say, how I hated instruction and discipline, and my heart despised reproof. You do not ever want to say that. It says, I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor submitted and consented to those who instructed me. The extent and boldness of my sin involved almost all evil in the estimation of the congregation and the community. He said, drink waters out of your own cistern of a pure marriage relationship. Ain't got no side chicks. Right? See, our society today, they call it, a lot of them nowadays, body count. For a woman, if you've got what they call a high body count, that's a big turnoff to a guy. Y'all guys ain't saying nothing. Y'all different? Y'all don't care. It don't matter to y'all. It matters. Right? So he says here, drink waters out of your own cistern of a pure marriage relationship. And fresh running waters out of your own well. He's talking about your wife. Should your offspring be dispersed abroad as water brooks in the streets? We don't need no 15 baby daddies. Confine yourself to your own wife. Let me tell you something, guys. And ladies, you have to not let this hurt your feelings. Most guys are drawn by what they see. It's a general thing. I'm not talking about... Most guys like what I call eye candy. What's that mean? A good-looking woman. One that they think looks good, that is about the height or weight or hair or whatever it is that they like about them. Most guys, it's what I call eye candy. For most women, it's about what you feel. Y'all not saying nothing. But all that changes. And I know, Scotty don't even have to tell me. I know it might not have been that way when he started out, but I know there's women right now that he may think looks better than me. Golly, Bob, y'all ain't saying nothing. Don't make me ask you. Because I know he wouldn't want an answer. I wouldn't want to answer. But it's the truth. Do I still think he is the best looking guy I've ever saw? Why, no. Things have changed. But I love him and I don't want another one. And he looks good enough for me. Do you understand what I'm telling you? So all this stuff, even though when a man is getting older or whatever, you got to control yourself. A lot of men, they have what they call midlife crisis. Do y'all know why that is? Where you take a 40 or 50, 60-year-old man and he gets him 2 20s. He can't handle 120, but he'll get him 2 20s. That's what they're attracted to most of the time. Golly bum. Y'all going to have to help me with this now. Talk back. Do something. So don't let that bother you if you feel like you're not the beauty queen to your husband. I'm talking about fleshly, outward. Then he goes on here and he says, confine yourself to your own wife. You confine yourself. Monty, you control yourself, right? Johnny, you control yourself. Even if somebody looked better or sounded better or anything, you better run from that temptation. Why? Because you're going to confine yourself with the one that you made a covenant with. And that's the end of that. Regardless of if your flesh thinks they look good or better or anything else. And vice versa, the women to the men. He says, confine yourself to your own wife. Let your children be for you alone and not the children of strangers with you. He says, let your fountain of human life be blessed with the rewards of fidelity. That's a big one today. And rejoice in the wife of your youth. You may have been married 50 years, but rejoice in the wife that you married, right? Don't be looking for no other one. It says, let her be. This guy's having to let this stuff be. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant doe, tender, gentle, attractive. Y'all didn't hear what I said. Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to tell this to myself. Y'all would not know I was a very private person, would you? Because God makes me tell all my business to help y'all. But anyway, I have not been because I'm changing. Scotty told me yesterday he already sees a little change, so I'm doing good evidently. But anyway, when I would be having a bad day or something, I would want him when he comes in or whatever, you know, hug me and say everything's going to be all right or something other, you know, and then the rest of the time leave me alone. And so, what are you laughing about? Ladies, don't be like this, because guys get mixed signals. And so one day I was having a bad day and he didn't do it and he hadn't done it in a while. And I told him, I said, why can't you ever just hug me and tell me it's all going to be okay? He said, Teresa, I don't know when to touch you and when not to. Now he's being honest. But see, I'm sending out mixed signals. I want him to when I want him to, but the rest of the time don't, because I don't feel like I need it. Don't open my door today. Bless God, I can open my own door. Now tomorrow, you might better get the door because I might be feeling different. See, ladies, we send out mixed signals, and these guys don't know which one to do at what time. So it's confusing for him, and I'm blaming him because I'm not getting what I feel like I need to get. But he don't know when to give it to me. So what's that mean? I'm going to have to be like this one right here. What did that say? What verse was we on? Y'all remember? Yeah. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant doe. Tender. Don't be when he touch you. I tell you right now, you touch me again, I'll smack you in your mouth. Don't you touch me unless I tell you. Then tomorrow I'm having a bad day. Why ain't you hugging me? Say what you want, ladies. They're not mind readers. So be tender all the time, right? Golly, boom, are y'all going to agree with me or not? Thank you, Johnny. You ain't even the woman. Hey, and let me say this little disclosure on this, disclaimer or whatever. Guys, the things you hear about women, don't ever use these things against them. And ladies, the things you hear about the guys that is their part, don't ever use it against them. Because it's not your job to change the person. You can't. And it's not your job to tell them and enforce what you have found out they're supposed to be or do. We can say amen to that too. It says, be tender, gentle. Sad to say, I have not been a very gentle woman whatsoever. I'm learning. I'm having to learn how to be tender and gentle. It says, attractive. It says, let her bosom satisfy you at all times and always be transported with delight in her love. Why should you, my son, be infatuated, that's what it is, infatuated with a loose woman? And listen to me, guys. Most of the time, the woman that you're looking for, she's probably not going to be the most drop-dead gorgeous. She's probably not going to be the cheerleader at school. She may be possibly not the one that's the prettiest, but she is the best one. Not saying she can't be the prettiest. I'm just saying generally. Because, see, these women ain't everywhere. He goes on and says, for the ways, oh, why should you, my son, be infatuated with a loose woman, embrace the bosom of an outsider, and go astray? For the ways of man are directly before the eyes of the Lord, and he who would have us live soberly, chastely, and godly, carefully weighs all man's goings. His own iniquity shall ensnare the wicked man, and he shall be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of discipline and instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he will go astray and be lost. Now let's go back to Proverbs 31. Caleb, because I'm out of time already. I told you we wouldn't get past the first page, Beth. Like I said, we're going to be on this for a while. We have really not even got started yet. And I know some things I said this morning, they may be hard to you, especially if you're a woman. They was hard to me. I did not understand. I did not know. I didn't know what it meant. I don't know how to be it, but I'm learning, right? You know, and Scotty likes me better already, he says. Keep going, baby. I'm serious. I really am serious. I mean, you may think I'm joking or whatever. I didn't know how to be soft, D. I just did not. And I'm learning, and God's helping me, and whatever he deals with you about, you have grace to be it or overcome it or whatever. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say before we close? Go ahead, Mr. 11.